This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's an honor to welcome to the program international best-selling author and television personality, Gillian McKeith. Her latest book is The Food Bible, How to Use Foods to Cure What Ails You. Her international bestseller is, of course, this is the woman who literally wrote the book, You Are What You Eat. She's also the host of the television series You Are What You Eat on Channel 4 in the United Kingdom and BBC America. It's an honor to welcome Gillian McKeith to the program. How are you,
Hello
Gillian?
Hello there, Coy. How are you today?
Very good. I heard y'all got a little bit of snow there in England.
Oh, my goodness. We've been snowed in for 2 days. The buses were not working. The underground came to a halt. All the schools have been closed. We literally have just been building snowmen for the past couple of days.
And you're not really used to that over there. I mean,
no, we're not prepared at all. I have lived in London for 14 years now, and I haven't seen snow here ever, except maybe one little flurry that crossed the road and disappeared again.
Gosh.
First time in 20 years that this has happened.
The kids are having a ball, I would imagine.
They're loving it, but we're not prepared. There was just not the kind of machinery to get rid of it, so it just had to sit. So all the airports got closed. Everything shut down. It came to an absolute standstill, the whole city.
My goodness. Well, I hope...
fact, I was speaking to someone in Canada today, a friend of mine who lives there, and they were laughing at what happened here with this little bit of snow that we got.
How much was it total?
8 inches, actually, in London.
Eight inches? Well, that's a lot of snow. 8 inches is... That's a fair amount,
quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we get 3 or 4 inches here, and the schools will close.
I feel better then.
Oh yeah, yeah,
but
absolutely.
We've had a great time. It's been fun. It's been a real community spirit, actually, because everybody had to walk everywhere and making snowballs and snowmen. I mean, yeah, everybody came together.
Well, I hope you have enough milk for the hot chocolate and and that you'll be okay. Gillian, let's start. We're talking with Gillian McKeith. Her new book is Food Bible.
Yes.
Let's start with just a Gillian 101, a little bit about your background. Tell us when you knew in your life that you were going to be a nutritionist, a clinical nutritionist, and that this is what you were going to do and this is how you were really, truly going to help people.
Well, the way I ended up in the field of nutrition is I was actually not very well myself many years ago. I just really was on a merry-go-round of visits to one medical practitioner after another, trying to find out what was wrong with me, because for about 2 years I could hardly get out of bed. I was very unwell. I had all these symptoms. I had a migraine that never left for a good year and a half. I was on injectable painkillers. I was on every kind of medication you could imagine at one time or another, and nothing seemed to help me. And it was interesting that through my own efforts to try and find out what was going on, eventually it was discovered, to cut a long story short, that I had a lot of allergies and food sensitivities, and also that I had something called yeast candida albicans, which back in those days nobody really talked about, but we all have the yeast candida albicans in our bodies. But in my case, due to excessive use of antibiotics when I was younger, as a child, it caused this yeast to grow out of proportion and kind of go into the blood, not just kind of, definitely go from the intestinals area into the bloodstream, and can make you feel rather ill. It is now recognized, but it wasn't back then. And so it was really just a case of nobody really knowing what to do with me. And so after having all kinds of tests, I then this was discovered. And so it was really a journey of my own ill health that led me into the field of nutrition. And once I discovered what was wrong and learned how to correct it, I decided that this is what I should do with my life, because along the way I'd met so many people who were also unwell and had no idea what to do and didn't really understand how food can affect your health, because there was also a period in my life when I didn't eat very well. And so I understand and can empathize with people who have addictions to food and who also don't eat well and have no idea that it impacts on your body, because food is very powerful, and it can be very powerful in a good way, but also in a bad way. And that's what the Food Bible is all about. It's based on over 15 years in private practice in my own clinic with my own patients, my own clients, who I have watched grow to immense levels with their well-being. And so what I wanted to do was to give people a tool and a foundation from which that they too could access that same level of wellness. And my mission really is to get people to take back the reins of their own health and to take responsibility. You must take responsibility for your own health and what you put into your body and how you live your life. And so the Food Bible, based on all that work that I've done and on tried and tested food prescriptions, if you like, is really what motivated me to write this book. And so the first half of it is taking you through the ages and stages of your life and how food can affect those various ages and stages. And then the second half is an A to Z encyclopedic dictionary type format whereby you can look up any common ailment, anything from acne to bloating to period pains to menopause, you name it, it's in there as a common ailment. And you can see how to completely eradicate it or to substantially lessen it using food as the first port of call in order to make your body a much better place to live in.
My guest
and
is Doug.
It's been received so well. In fact, in Britain, it went to number one within 24 hours of being released because obviously I'm living in Britain. I'm very well known in Britain, but it just shows you the impact that such a book can have. And the feedback on this book was just fantastic. And I just want to be able to get the message out in America also.
Absolutely. My guest is Dr. Gillian McKeith. She's the director of the renowned McKeith Clinic in London and host of the television series You Are What You Eat, which you can see here, folks, on BBC America. Her new book
is... Corey, we get so many emails from America. Oh, my goodness. We get hundreds of emails from America at my office every week.
With questions about food and health.
Yes, and just having watched the show and loving it. Because I don't know if you've seen my show on BBC America, but I'm quite tough with my TV clients, as I am with my own clients off TV, because I want people to get results. There is a lot of love and nurturing and supportiveness, obviously, but the way that they've edited the show, you'd think I'm only tough, you know. but the fact of the matter is that people sometimes need to be shown the way, and there's no point in saying, oh, it's fine what you're doing, keep doing what you're doing. That won't get results. You know, I want people to get results. I'm passionate about helping people, and I hope you can feel that.
Absolutely. Let me ask you.
So I don't want people to waste their time.
Right,
I don't want to have my time wasted either. So on the show, it's tough love, without a doubt.
My guest
get results, and the turnaround in people's lives is just extraordinary. I want people to grab life. I want you to not exist, but to really, truly live. And it's a bit like if you never have your eyes tested, you've no idea how well you can see. And the same with your health. If you don't take steps to improve yourself and challenge yourself with your health, then you've no idea of how great you can feel, how fantastic your energy levels can be, and the heights to which you can take your wellness. You need to try it, and then you can see the difference.
Gillian, let me ask you, we're talking with Gillian McKeith. The new book is Food Bible, and we'll be giving away a free copy here at the end of the interview.
Fantastic.
Gillian, let me ask you about some specifics now that are in the book that we can talk about, and we'll just go down a list here. And the first thing I have to ask you about is I have a special needs child diagnosed with autism, and I remember years ago the very first thing that we were told through the network of parents was you got to get them off of gluten and casein. And we noticed immediate results. And now you see in the grocery stores, now they have whole gluten-free sections. Tell us about gluten, what it is, and why we're finding that so many people are sensitive to it and should get off of it.
Gluten is found in wheat, and it's a kind of sticky substance to which a lot of people have become sensitive or have always been sensitive. And I do believe it's more to do with the overeating of wheat in our daily lives. There's nothing really wrong with wheat, except for the fact that we eat too much of it. And, of course, within the wheat and within certain grain products, there is this gluten. But, of course, the grain that people eat the most of, which has the gluten, is the wheat. So you've got people eating bread and sandwiches, and then you'll find a lot of packaged goods, which Americans just live on. A lot of Americans don't ever make anything from scratch, Corey. They literally live on packaged foods. And if you look at the label, you'll often find wheat and glutinous products within those ingredients that are used to make those foods, whatever it might be. And what's happened is that people overeating on the same foods all the time, especially wheat, is very allergenic and people are very sensitive to it. And this gluten is a very sticky kind of substance, for want of a better way of describing it, that people have been found to be very sensitive. It's one of the higher sensitive reaction foods. Now, with autistic sufferers, they also, what happens is that gluten substances release trigger, rather, the release of certain substances in susceptible individuals. And autistic people will have much more, they'll have higher levels of these substances anyway. And so eating these kinds of foods will trigger the release of more of those. They're called opioids, actually. And
yeah.
You find that levels of opioids are much higher in autistic people. And so if you're going to overeat or you eat glutinous products, then you increase those levels. And then it means that you are then going to have more of the behavioral effects that autistic people may have in an even more intense way. And forgetting the fact that somebody may have autism, overall and generally, I would highly recommend that people don't overeat on gluten products, period, over with,
yeah.
And that they do cut down on their level of wheat eating.
We're talking with Gillian McKeith.
You can make a big difference to your child, and I'm sure you've already been doing a lot. There's a lot of things that can be done with a child that is autistic, and certainly it starts with exactly the kinds of foods that you put into that child's body.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
You don't want to have the child eating foods that have colorings or dyes or additives, and certainly refined carbohydrates like white pasta, white sugar, white rice should really, really be avoided, because it's just going to lead to emotional upset and to behavioral problems in that child because they are so sensitive.
Yeah, yeah. Some of those dyes and like the popsicles and things like that will just send him over the edge. I mean, crying and screaming. And
I mean, no child should have those things, Coy. But the thing is that most people, in fact, in America, half the time the children are on Ritalin because they think they've got behavioral problems, when in actual fact, they really need to just look and see, what are they eating?
Yeah, yeah.
What is in the food that I'm giving my child? And you'll find that if you just remove a lot of the food additives and the colorings and the dyes from, and we'll just remove those foods that have those things, you'll find a different child altogether. And, of course, the autistic child is going to react to these kinds of chemicals in an even more profound way. And so it's eliminating all the possible triggers from your child and giving your child as whole food a diet as possible, because it will make a massive difference. I've seen such improvements in autistic children to levels that you just wouldn't have thought possible. And it all started with what goes in the mouth. And also, it's been recommended, certainly in this country, to supplement your child, and certainly autistic children, with fish oil supplements and oily and omega-3 supplements.
Yep.
Because it's been found to really be an important addition for the healthy brain.
Well, we started that with him, and then we saw such good stuff. I take fish oil now every day.
Yes, very good. In fact, what I've noticed in this world, and certainly in Britain and America, we've become fat-phobic. And what I mean by that is that we're afraid to eat things that are sources of good fats, like the omega-3s, which your child, and not just autistic children, but every child desperately needs. And what I have found is that a lot of people are deficient in the omegas, are deficient in the good fats, and that's because they're so afraid to eat something that is fat because they think they might get fat. But the bottom line is this, is you can't get fat on good fats. You need good fats to stay slim. You need good fats for metabolism. You need good fats for your brain function, your skin, your nails, your hair, all of that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I highly, highly recommend people to eat oily fish like salmon, trout, herring, sardines, mackerel, and also to include avocados, seeds, nuts in your diet, because these are all good sources of good fats, and you won't get fat. The problem is people, when they cut fat out of the diet, cut out everything. If I had a woman in my office the other day, and she said to me, I've cut out all the fat from my diet. And I went, okay, and why is that? Because I just don't want to get fat. And so I said to her, well, actually, I want you to eat avocados. In fact, I'm going to give you this great recipe for avocado mash. And she went, oh, no, I can't possibly eat that. You know, I couldn't. I'll just get so fat. So then I said to her, well, how about this? Avocados are a good source of thinny fats. I don't call them essential fatty acids anymore, Coy. I call them thinny fats. And so as soon as they say thinny fats, as I say thinny fats, people then want to eat them because they think it'll make them thin. But, you know, the fact is that it's the same thing, essential fatty acids. Thinny fats is my invented term for essential fatty acids, because I know that if I say it's essential fatty acids, they'll just run away from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Gillian McKeith. The book is Food Bible. The book is Food Bible, How to Use Food to Cure What Ails You. And as far as weight loss is concerned, I was reading in the book that almonds are actually good, and you would assume that those would be bad for you.
No, almonds are amazing food, a very much underrated food. And the reason, they've been found in studies to be good for weight loss. And the main reason is that they're a good source of nice, easy-to-use protein, first of all. But also, they are giving you what's called satiety. They make you feel full for longer. And that is a good thing because it means that you won't be craving and you won't be running for any old things and stuff in your mouth to keep you happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Almonds are a great food. In fact, they've been found to be useful for all kinds of things. They're a highly nutritious nut. In fact, what I often recommend to people to make nuts easier to digest is to soak them overnight in some water. And then in the morning, they're nice and chewy.
Ah, I never even thought about
that. And really, and actually even easier on the digestion. Just lovely.
Now, how about peanut butter? Should we stay away from that?
Sorry, I missed that question.
Peanut butter. Should we stay away from that?
Well, here, somebody was telling me recently about some kind of problem with peanut butter in America.
Yeah,
what's going
yeah.
on?
Well, you got that salmonella out of one plant in Georgia, and some of the peanut butter will make you sick, possibly. But the store-bought brands, the big-name brands in the grocery store are fine. But overall, just is peanut butter a healthy thing?
It's not the worst thing in the world for you, is it? But the problem is that a lot of it comes dry. A lot of it comes roasted and salted. And that's not the way I'd want you to eat your peanuts. And also, there are a lot of people who are sensitive to peanuts. So it's not a nut that you should overeat on.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, you'd want it to be salt-free. You don't need all that extra salt.
Jillian, what do you think of the top mistakes? We've got a few minutes left here. What do you think of the top mistakes that Americans make? When you look at the American diet, what were some of the changes that you could recommend right off the bat that most of Americans should think about?
Well, they need to find their kitchens and learn how to turn the cooker on. Americans eat out far too much. And they haven't really learned a repertoire of some basic, easy to make and rustle up meals that could be done in 10 minutes or less. Because I think they would put up with that in the kitchen for 10 minutes or less.
Yeah.
Any more than that, they're out on the road looking for something in a takeaway joint.
Calling to pizza, yeah.
And that's the culture. I lived in America for 14 years, Coy, so I can certainly talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I know the culture very well. But the thing is, in America, it's almost like as soon as you get there, it's like, okay, where are we going to eat out then? Nobody seems to think about eating in. And if they do eat in, it's something they've picked up on the way to bring in.
Right.
So what I want people to realize is that your kitchen is not a showpiece. It's actually for use. You can use it. And it's most important to get a good breakfast made in that kitchen. You start the day with a really good breakfast. A smoothie followed by some porridge will not keep you in that kitchen. You will not be a slave to your stove. But do learn some basics. In fact, you can go on my website, actually, and get some really easy basic recipes that would be just amazing, life-changing alterations that are so simple to make. The other thing is to eat more regularly and at more or less the same time every day and more and make it six meals a day. So it's breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, snack.
Graze throughout the day on healthy stuff.
You're not grazing and that you're not eating every minute, but you must eat regularly to keep your blood sugar levels stable. And what I see with Americans is that they'll eat, some people I know will eat nothing like all morning, and they'll think that's great, and then by like 12 o'clock they're ready to kill someone for food and they'll just grab a donut, you know, or any old thing. But if you do that to yourself, first of all, you slow your metabolism down, so you're going to gain more weight because your body doesn't know when it's going to eat again, and then your blood sugar levels are all over the place, so you're starting to crave sugar because that's what your body's saying, oh my goodness, I need energy. And the problem is you're not going to go for the aduki bean bake at that point. You know, you're going to grab any old thing because you need it right now before you faint.
Yeah, yeah.
So more green vegetables also. And more people avoid vegetables. When I look at the food diaries of a lot of Americans, there's a big area missing from their diets, and it tends to be green vegetables. We underestimate the power of green vegetables. They are very powerful foods. They contain lots of nutrients, especially antioxidants that have been found to be very beneficial for all kinds of illnesses, preventing those illnesses, especially the cancers. There's all kinds of anti-cancer nutrients that have been found in green vegetables, so we shouldn't ignore it. We should really be eating them because there's nothing better for us. We also need to not drink ice-cold water all the time. Everywhere you go in America, it's packed with ice. If you have water in a restaurant, it's like there's more ice than there is water.
Yeah.
You have any kind of drink anywhere, that is the worst thing you could do for yourself. It just gives you gas. It makes you bloated. It shocks your system first thing in the morning. When you get up in the morning, I want you to have a cup of warm water. You could put a squeeze of lemon in there, or you could have a cup of nettle tea that gets things moving, gets your bowels going, Coy.
Yeah.
And you feel so much better. And also, we've got to move more. there's not enough exercise. Sitting in cars all day long, oh, it's the worst thing. In fact, you know what I did? I recorded top 40 hits, top 70 hits, top 80 hits, and girl power hits to a consistent beat. And there's my voice talking through, not over all the music, but talking you through the concepts of walking. Walking workouts is what I created. And getting you to move forward to the beat, to this great music, with my voice motivating you along. In fact, you can get it on iTunes. It's called Gillian McKee's Bootcamp Walking Workouts. And it's designed to give you a reason to go out and have some fun and exercise, because people hate that word exercise, actually. But I thought, everyone loves music, and they'll love my voice.
Dr. Gillian McKee. Dr. Gillian McKee. We
got to
go, Gillian. Best-selling international author.
It's great fun.
Got to run, Gillian. The new book is Food Bible, How to Use Food to Cure What Ails You, by Gillian McKee. It's been an honor to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.